and I become King George. And I got all the rights then. And when I stand on the mountain and I say, do it, it gets done. If it don't get done, then I'll move on it. And that's the last thing in the world you want me to do.
Difficult.
You know, most of them don't assume you're actually going to kill them. Most of them assume it's a rape or something like that.
It was like anybody was fair game.
It did not matter. Blood is blood. It didn't matter if man, woman, child.
At first, they thought it was a pack of savage dogs. But when they looked closer, they knew it was humans.
We left the curse. We left the curse.
In the gate.
A fire and death.
In the gate.
Oh, this is not nice.
No.
Judgment.
No.
Judgment. Say it.
Ah, we left the curse.
On her?
On her.
Future generations.
Future generations. Generation.
Welcome back, everyone, to Evil Examined. Last week, we kicked off our third season. Boy, the time goes by fast, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And Season 3, The Unholy Trinity.
Yes, The Unholy Trinity. Actually, we forgot to say that. We usually name our seasons because it's just fun. Yeah. What, we had Season 1, Evil is Born.
Season 2,
The Next Abomination.
Yeah.
And then Season 3 will be called The Unholy Trinity.
Because of Season 3.
Yeah. That's cool, right?
So awesome.
Yeah.
So, Daddy Bass and John the Skeptic are back on the show to co-sign and validate what we're doing here, make sure we're on the right track.
Keep these boys and girls in line.
So, thank you guys for joining us again. We had a lot of fun last week doing the Hat Man and the Rhode Island Sea Monster secret segment. And be sure to go to www.evilexamined.com to view the video evidence of the account. By local, where are they from?
Portsmouth.
Fall River, right?
They were from Fall River. Yeah.
The Fall River folks in Portsmouth giving their account of this terrifying monster. And also to view pictures and photographic evidence of the Hat Man to give you a better visualization before you snuggle up in your bed and go to sleep. Yeah, I recommend you look at these photos right before bed.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And if you see the Hat Man, be sure to email us at evilexamine@gmail.com. Also, as stated in our initial episode to launch the third season, we're not going to be doing any kind of charge for our content. We considered it, but we're going to keep everything free, most accessible on the easy platforms for you guys to get. Nothing's changing in that respect. But our evilexamine@gmail.com, we are accepting donations via PayPal if you want to try and help fund our beer money or, cover some of the costs of the show. We would greatly appreciate it, and we will put you, we'll put you out there, Put you on the,
put you out there on the streets.
Put it in you, Whatever we have to do.
Put him on the wall of shame.
Yeah, we can write a, John was very enthusiastic last week about writing horrible things about strangers. He's willing to do that. He's willing to give you 2 or 3 sentences tops. But
constructive criticism.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah. We're committed to keeping you guys happy, however we can. So last week was the odd news. Then we know this week is the Forbidden Five. And without further ado, let's get into Evil Experiments.
So I read a book. Are you guys proud of me?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
It's by this guy named Alex Bowes, and it's called Electrified Sheep. And this is a book in a series where he writes about all these crazy experiments and different, things that have happened in the science world that seem like they shouldn't be true and that people shouldn't have tried that, or that they might sound more illegitimate, but people were really trying to solve problems with science in weird fucking ways, and we're going to talk about some of those. So we're all familiar with that mad scientist stereotype, like the hair you get after you stick your finger in a socket, you know, like the maniacal laugh, a lab coat covered in different stains, things like that, really thick safety glasses, and like those messed up huge eyebrows, right?
Beakers full of colorful fluids.
Yes, fluids. I knew you'd bring that up. Yeah, like Pinky and Igor. And I was trying to think of some of my favorite mad scientists because that's what I started like thinking about. And I thought about Pinky and the Brain. And I thought about Doc Brown from Back to the Future. And then Val Kilmer playing Dr. Moreau in the Island of Dr. Moreau.
Oh, that's a good one. What about Reanimator? That's a good one.
That's another good one. Do you guys have any other mad scientists that you like?
Mr. Sinister.
Ooh, what's he do?
He's into splicing human mutations.
Oh, shit.
He's from the X-Men.
He's from the X-Men. He's a comic book character.
Oh, man.
He's just my favorite evil guy.
I like Dr. Eggman from Sonic.
Oh, dude. Oh, yeah. Played by Jim Carrey in the new movie, right?
No, I'm talking about the OG shit.
Yeah, cartoon.
Don't disrespect me.
Did you guys see that movie with Jim Carrey?
I did.
Yeah.
Was he good in it?
It wasn't bad.
I mean, yeah, it was all right.
It was all right. It was surprisingly all right. Good
movie. So I didn't disrespect you then. You just said it was good. What was the other one though? Well, Frankenstein, right? Is that Dr. Frankenstein?
Well, she said Igor earlier, so I assume that's who she was referring to.
Wasn't Igor his assistant?
Igor is the assistant.
Yeah, in the movie, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just like Pinky is Brain's assistant. Like, I was just saying that they often have assistants.
Yeah. Mm. You need to when you're doing crazy shit.
You can't carry all those tubes around.
Or if, like, you need someone to deal with a hazardous chemical, like, you don't want to be doing that. You're the brains of the project. You bring in the guns like Daddy Bass, have him fuck around with that.
Right? Daddy Igor.
See, like, John the Skeptic, he would be supervising the experiment.
He'd be supervising me grabbing the toxic waste and carrying it over to him. Yeah, no, I get it. I get it.
Fuck you guys.
Oh, man, it's been decided. The first guy that we're going to talk about, though, he didn't have an assistant, but he did have kind of like a very special relationship with his experiment. So his name was Johann Wilhelm Ritter. And he's a guy that screwed batteries. So we're going to talk about
him. Was it Phillips or Flathead?
No, batteries. Oh, screwed?
Oh, you mean he fucked them?
We're going to talk about it. Wow. So you're thinking like he's screwing in batteries to things?
Yeah.
Okay. He was born in 1776 in what's now Poland. It wasn't that at the time. He was kind of considered legit when he first got started out. And he was kind of like a weird kid. He was like obsessed with dissecting frogs and stuff. And he would make friends with those frogs. And then eventually his father passed away and left him like a big inheritance. And so he got the money to go to college. And so he did. And he was kind of like obsessed with the idea that electricity was like where life was found and what it was like made out of. And so when he was like dissecting frogs, he thought that their blood and like the fluid inside them, whatever made their muscles jump, like that's why he was so obsessed with it. Because that was like the secret to unlock life. So he checked a lot of boxes of behavioral traits that we'd associate with being in college after he moved. Like he wouldn't really bathe and his teeth would occasionally fall out from not brushing them. Mm. Yeah. He'd spend days on end partying and just like he didn't have any separation in his room of like where his experiments were, his bed was or everything. So there's just like dead frogs all over the ground. Yeah.
That must have smelled nice.
Probably.
With the non-bathing, that must be great.
Yeah. And then he would often take, like, a little disc of zinc and another disc of silver and, like, touch them to his tongue, which is basically, like, licking a battery just to, like, see how it felt. Have you guys ever licked a battery?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So everyone has licked a battery but me.
Yeah.
You know, never put your tongue on a 9-volt battery?
Is it fun?
That's, like, a classic thing.
Is it fun? No, it's not fun, but...
We want to see if it
works. For science. It just never came up in the household. I don't know.
Someone go get a 9-volt battery.
Okay. I'll do it.
Let's pop that cherry.
Well, if we're going to do it, we'll do it on video. Put it on the website.
All right.
Sure. I'll lick Aaron's the fucking battery. Battery licking.
I thought it was weird that you guys aren't lying, though, are
you? You'll be fucking them in no time.
That's his foreplay.
Yeah. Electrocution.
So he built this thing called a voltaic pile, which is basically like those discs stacked on top of each other with like salt water soaked tissues in between. And you get, the more you stack them, the higher the power gets. So it's like the bigger it is, the better it is. the more the voltage. So he stacked 200 of these discs on top of each other. And then because he's a scientist, he periodically zapped like each one of his body parts, you know, just to test it out, see what happened to it, and documented his findings. And then eventually he got to his dick and he just loved it. So, I mean, basically he was never really seen again. After that, he did his eyeballs too, which I thought was really weird. Like he touched it to his eyeballs and it's not like it's like he loved it on his dick so much, but it's not like it does good things to your body. So it's like on your arm, it would paralyze his arm. He would get like, he blinded himself by putting it in his eye, not permanently.
Did he get rosacea at all?
He might have rosacea.
Yeah,
probably. His lungs became full of mucus. He would get headaches, muscle spasms all this time. His tongue would just go numb randomly. But he just seriously, like, he would write all this, document all this, but he never complained about how it felt on his dick. And then another time, this is the kind of guy he is, he just stared directly into the sun for 20 minutes, forcing one of his own eyes open and went blind for a month in that eye for science. You know,
this guy's a fucking.
No, it's like Trump on the eclipse. You know,
he's the real deal. This guy.
I wanted to ask you guys, what's the longest you've ever stared directly at the sun for?
Probably the eclipse, but I was wearing those movie theater glasses.
Not long.
Right.
I thought that was a dumb idea.
3 seconds.
Yeah. But like you've tried it, right?
Yeah.
But you know, like they say it's bad for your eyesight. So like I usually try to avoid it. I'll put sunglasses on. I don't like the way it feels, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it doesn't feel
so
good.
It's not very, you can't say see very after. A few seconds.
Sounds like this guy was just like a masochist.
That's what I was trying to figure out his motivation.
Seriously.
I was like, is he a masochist or is he really trying to figure out like help further science by doing these findings? And then even further, he's not doing this to animals. He's not doing it to other people and asking him. He's choosing himself to experiment on. So is he just really a sweetheart?
He's honorable.
I was just going to say, I think he started out with good intentions and then he got, you know, like, it's like, it's like when you're like 6 years old and you rub your dick against the floor and you're like, oh, that was kind of cool. And so you start out with one intention, like, I'm just going to lay down on the floor. In his, it was just, I'm going to do these experiments. Okay. Oh, my dick felt good. And then it goes on from there.
Down. Yeah. But so, yeah. So what I was going to say something about that too. I was gonna say, like, just how is that good for science? Like,
he got cut just off.
Just curious, just like, how is that gonna benefit science? I'm just,
oh, yeah, was there like an initial blueprint that we missed on this?
No, he's just making the voltaic pile and then testing it to see what the effects are on people.
Oh, you know? So maybe I'm wrong.
I'm not saying like that his. I mean, people tase people. Maybe they don't aim for the dick because they might like it. I don't know.
Ooh.
I don't know how he contributed, really.
Okay. I was just curious.
Some more information about his personal life. He had developed an opium addiction to deal with the pain that he had caused himself from doing these experiments.
I thought he liked it.
And he liked it only on his dick, but he tried everywhere because of science. And he met a prostitute that he liked, and he, Dorothea. So he married her.
Tragic story.
And they had some kids. But he just kept thinking he just kept thinking about two that boys. Pile. So eventually he left so he could go fuck the battery again.
Oh my God.
That sucks.
He left his family for batteries?
Yeah.
Like, our dads, at least they left for, like, alcohol or cigarettes. You know what I mean? Like,
just because they didn't want to deal with us.
Yeah, yeah. But if I found out they left for a fucking battery, that would be crushing.
That's where I draw the line.
And as a woman, how could you compete? You know?
For a second, I thought it was, like, a true, like, you know, Pretty Woman story there, where he got this hooker and he married her. He changed her life, but no, he left her for the batteries.
Oh, man.
That's the deleted scenes from Pretty Woman. Richard Gere, just...
Oof. A boy in the gerbils.
Right. Two gerbils, one battery. That's
right. It's all connected, guys.
It's all making sense. Yeah. So that's Johan. Up next, we have Psychoneurotic Atomic Goats. This is number two. So in Bikini Atoll, the Marshall Islands, June 30th, 1946. So this is kind of like after World War II. So right after U.S. had dropped the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagashima, or Nagasaki, I'm sorry. I don't even know what I'm saying. After doing that, then the U.S. Navy decided, oh, we should probably like learn more about this and study like the effects that this has, because we have some extra bombs, extra atomic bombs to deal with. So they go, they kind of start boasting, and it kind of is sort of like a propaganda affair where they're like, this is the biggest experiment that's ever been done ever. We have 42,000 men involved, 242 ships. They were also kind of like blowing up enemy ships that they had gotten during the war too. 156 planes, 750 cameras, 5,000 pressure gauges, 25,000 radiation recorders. And then they had two more atomic bombs. And one they were dropping on this island, and the other one they were detonating underwater. And they were going to find all the effects, like measure the effects of this in various ways. And one of the ways that they were doing this was they also forced everyone that lived on the island to move off of it, and they never got to move back after dropping a bomb on it. So it's just more fucked up shit in history books, you know? But one thing that they did was they had 204 goats, and they put all of these goats on this one boat, and they were like, all right, we're going to study the effects on these specific goats. And I just want to know, have you guys, how you feel about goats? Have you had any experiences with them? Have you met a goat?
I went to a petting zoo, and they had, like, baby goats, and I want one so bad.
They're so cute, right?
Yeah, their eyes are insane, dude. Have you ever looked into their eyes?
Oh, it's creepy. Yeah.
I had a thing where I put a quarter in to get feed, and then they lick it off your hand.
Yeah. They attack you for that feed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did the same thing. Like, I was like, yeah, I don't like this shit. I threw it down. I was like, get the fuck away from me. They were like bumping into me like multiple. I was like, yo, this is very
uncomfortable. So you're not a fan?
No, I mean, they're fine, but I was just like, you know, they want this food. Let's just give it to them.
They've got food aggression for sure, yeah. Right?
They're just so obese, too. Like, I don't know if you know, like, they're just eating feed all day.
That's all they have.
Well, goats can eat just about anything, right? The animals that just eat whatever.
They'll eat a couch if it's there.
But I'm just saying, like, they're getting pumped full of those pellets, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, all the goats we've seen were just, like, they looked overweight.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I think I've seen, like, little ones when I went. They were that big.
You seen any of them goats, John?
Yeah, we were actually at the zoo yesterday. I saw some goats. Ooh.
Can you give us any insight on this? On these goats that you saw?
Were they obese?
Let's describe the goats. No, goats usually have like a pot belly.
Oh. All goats look pregnant.
Yeah.
So they look like me.
There was goats at my daughter's birthday party, and they were like headbutting each other and like butting each other in the side.
Wait, you got goats for the party?
No, we had it at a farm, and they had goats there.
Oh, okay.
Mm. And they were all fucking each other up.
Did you like start like a Michael Vick ring or something?
No,
just for the day.
I just laughed.
See, I would have put money. You know.
Have goats ever tried to bite any of you guys when you're feeding them, or like your clothes or anything? Like tried to eat something else besides?
I've never gotten that close to them.
No. No,
they just sucked on my finger.
Just that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it's just me, but like I feel like goats, because of their like very food aggressive and stuff, and like they butt heads all the time, and that's like what they're just naturally inclined to do. But I've been bit by a goat. Like they try to eat your clothes or different things you have on you if you're feeding them. But I still like them. They're super cute. I don't know.
But I like to watch them like shit those pellets out.
Yeah.
You ever watch that? All the different shit pellets? I think it looks cool.
It's like, it's the same thing as when you turn the thing and their food comes out. It just looks exactly like that.
It's a constant cycle of that in that area, you know?
So these goats were hand selected as being neurotic and displaying psychotic tendencies. But originally the sources did not elaborate on what that would be. So I was trying to figure out what I thought a psychotic goat would be, and I just couldn't do it because I just think they're all psychopathic. I don't know.
Like, have you ever seen like Jim Brewer stand up?
Does he talk about goats?
Well, he has a famous goat boy impression.
That's right.
Yeah. That's what I picture a psychotic goat.
They were identified by having a skittish look in their eye, but I feel like that was...
You're putting them on a boat. Like,
what the fuck? I feel like that depends on who's looking at them and how. Yeah. You know? But what do you think a neurotic goat would act like? Or sound like?
I mean, they're already like hitting each other. Like, that seems like common horseplay or goat play.
Yeah.
But, play. You know, I don't know. Maybe if one of them's like a rapist or something, like.
Yeah, but there's. Right.
Isn't rape's accepted amongst goats, though, isn't it?
Animals can't consent.
How come?
Because their brains aren't advanced
but
enough.
But horses say nay.
Yeah.
So what, you don't think animals should have rights, it sounds like?
No, well, I don't, but I mean some, I don't know.
I mean, you're treading on very fucking thin ice in this climate, John.
What, because I said animals can't consent?
Yeah.
The whole idea of...
You're going to get canceled now.
What about a monkey?
It's cancel season.
You don't think a monkey can consent?
Cancel. Monkeys can communicate through
the
sign language.
The idea of talking about animals having... psychosis and human mental problems is absurd. I mean, I understand why people do it. Because people talk about their dogs as being sad and happy and, you know, whatever, but...
They try to humanize everything.
He looks happy when he eats his own shit. I mean, is that really
just
happiness?
Those words just don't mean the same thing.
That's psychosis.
I was trying to think of, like, what a skittish look in the eye really looks like, and I feel like it's just a, I want to leave...
Yeah.
Like, don't fuck with me, which right, I feel which like any goat would look.
Yeah, they all feel that way. None of them.
Yeah, their
it just
eyes.
Sounds like a poor excuse to, like, gather up random goats for this. Oh, these are the rejects.
That's... Yeah. I think, actually, if you wanted to make a skit, you'd have to make it. So you'd have to beat that goat regularly and,
oh my God.
You know, force it into
a boat.
Different predicaments, in my opinion. That's just my opinion.
So the specific plan for these goats was basically a torture experiment. So they were already selected for, like, being neurotic. And they put them on this ship, and they're like, all right, we're going to drop this bomb, but we're going to bring the ship just out of reach of where the bomb would actually kill them, but close enough where they would see, like, the entire wrath of God and experience Armageddon. And they have cameras on them that, like, just are filming them. And they're like, they want to see if these goats just snap and suffer a neurotic break. And it was basically like, I don't know, kind of like they were inspired by PTSD, shell shock, whatever it's been called historically. They wanted to see if that would like cause someone to snap and make these goats they thought were already crazy go crazier. So they make it this big thing and they broadcast all over the radio when they're going to drop this bomb and do like this huge experiments, which the goats were just like a small aspect of. And about 10% of them died, so like 20 of them. And they get all the surviving goats together. They seem fine. And they go get the film developed and see what the goats' reactions are. And what do you guys think their reactions were? Because it's what I thought. I feel like
The surviving ones killed 20 other comrades.
That would be so dope.
They probably just shitted all over the place.
They probably just did what they normally do.
I would actually tend to agree with him.
They
I think there was
shit.
I think there was a lack of reaction.
You guys are exactly right. Like one, they watch it. They have them like on kind of like a leash thing, tied down with like food in front of them, and so it takes a bite, chews, the mom blows off, and it just reaches down and takes another bite. And she was like, goat didn't give a fuck about this bomb that has like 10,000 mile per hour shit coming off of it. Like, it didn't care.
Goats are rad.
Yeah.
They're fucking nomadic, you know?
Yep. Yeah.
Renegade goats.
Renegade goats.
Well, these were mentally challenged goats, so maybe they just didn't realize what was going
According
on.
According to the idiots that did the experiment.
Well, let me ask you this, though. If the goats... How did the 10% die?
I think from those 10,000 mile per hour fucking shock waves sent toward them.
Just the fucking wave of it killed them?
I think so.
Wow.
It might have blown them off the boat. Like their leash might have come off or something.
Oh, like they went off the boat.
Maybe.
But I thought they measured that.
They didn't talk about that.
Safe area.
Yeah.
It was only like the third ever.
They were guessing. Okay. They didn't know.
Yeah, only the third ever atomic bomb, so they didn't know what they were doing.
They also blew up a boat, like a Japanese boat that had a bunch of pigs on it. And then there was like one pig that survived and swam away that was like a hero pig for the rest of the time.
Yeah.
It's like ridiculous.
Did it get superpowers?
No.
They probably ate them.
They never ate the pig.
No.
No. They should have. Because they were scared of the radiation poisoning, basically, otherwise. Yeah, oh, save this bacon. All right. Number three is Operation Survival. So this is in 1954 at Washington Missionary College, where there's this biology professor named Lester Harris and a nutrition professor named Harriet Hansen. I imagine she's hot because most nutrition professors are.
Plus Hansen, that was a good-looking group of boys.
They got a bunch of families to volunteer to go like hike out into the woods, and their instructions were they had to stay there for 3 nights. And they were provided with like a 12-pound backpack that they got to take with them that had a first aid kit and then the following food, powdered milk, dried eggs, and peanut butter. And this is for 3 days, 3 nights that they had to be there.
I could do that.
You could?
Easily.
I could do
that's,
that.
Because that's what I was going to ask. Could you do this?
Oh, yeah.
I lived off the
corners. I mean, I probably would.
With your families. You guys understand you're with your families. You're not alone.
How much peanut butter?
I don't know. That's my peanut butter.
Yeah, I'm trying to eat that peanut butter.
What are you supposed to eat the peanut butter off of, though?
How I'll much just spoon. Eat peanut butter straight up.
Oh, yeah, your
how
fingers.
How much peanut butter?
I don't know. I'm assuming a jar. It's a 12-pound bag, and that's everything that's in
how
it.
How big of a jar?
Family size?
I think it's like a big Skippy jar.
Okay.
It's creamy, not crunchy.
3 days? That's it?
And powdered eggs?
Your whole family's with you.
Yeah,
like that easy. Would be the most difficult part.
Yeah,
not the food, the family, but
that's plenty of food.
But like, does each person stick their finger into the peanut butter jar and lick it?
Or sure.
Like,
yeah, no, after they wash their hands. Yeah,
you got a first aid kit. You could probably find something in there to eat
that's
it with.
That's true. But it was also November, and so it was like 28 degrees outside. So the families just quit, and it's not like they were getting anything out of it. Anyway, really, per se, like maybe they were helping out a friend that was like the professor. Maybe they were like, oh, it's like camping or something. Or maybe they just wanted to have a family like bonding experience.
Wait, they quit?
They quit because it was fucking freezing out.
It was
out.
Cold. It was 28 degrees.
So there's no real. That's it?
Well, the point of the experiment was to plan for what would happen if an atomic bomb fell and people kind of had to figure out how to survive, but it's like, I feel like this is the inspiration for the reality show Survivor. You know?
Oh, maybe.
Like, this happened in 1954, and I feel like these professors should sue for copyright.
They should sue that fucking guy that's always on Survivor.
Jeff whatever. Where's Jeff something?
He's always got a tan.
He's very tan.
I heard that chin. After each episode, they go into like an RV and eat and shit and hang out.
After each episode?
Yeah, that was a scam.
No, that's not true.
Fake shit.
It was a scam? Yo, you're getting Brian upset right now.
That's not true.
That man watched all 12 seasons. He's going to fucking slap you if you...
Oh, no. Did you watch Survivor?
I used to watch it back in the day
when
it first
started. Did you have a crush on Elizabeth?
Is that the one with the curly hair?
She's the one that ended up married to Hasselbeck.
Tim Hasselbeck? He's such a fucking weirdo.
Naked and Afraid is real, though.
She's hot. Yeah, the blonde.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Matt Hasselbeck? He's also weird, but Tim is real weird.
Naked and Afraid, I have not watched.
I feel like John watched a bunch of survival shows at some point.
I love them.
He's a realist.
Nah. I didn't like any of those shows.
You didn't?
I used to watch Lost. I used to like watch Real World.
Oh, me too, yeah.
And Road Rules.
You've never seen the show with like Cody Lundeen where it's like a hippie guy that doesn't wear shoes and goes out and tries to survive for like a week?
He's like, no, I don't.
I love that shit. I love it. I would die.
Like instantly. Bear Grylls?
Oh, yeah, I like
that like
show.
Him. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But into a fish, a live fish.
Mm-hmm. All right, next up we have number 4, Lightning Machines. This one I thought was cool because it's like close to us as well. So in 1922 and I like saying Schenectady, New York.
Schenectady.
I can't really say it.
Brian, what the fuck are you doing over there? Fucking trying to discreetly remove a beer from the fridge.
He doesn't know what the discreet is.
This is our experiment assistant, Brian Acevedo.
So in 1922, General Electric unveiled their machine that they had constructed that was set up to like mimic lightning and what it's like. So it's this huge like two-story machine that's inside, and they have these two giant brass globes. And the lightning would jump in between these, like, spheres back and forth. And so it's, like, all centralized. So they just, like, recreate lightning in this thing. And it was made by this guy named Charles Steinmetz, who was a brilliant dwarf. He was, like, 4 feet tall. he had a hunchback. And he had come over from Germany. So it's, like, normally what you would picture as Igor, he's the main dude. So I just thought. I'd point that out.
Brilliant dwarf, huh?
Mm. And he always would have a cigar in his mouth.
Now, do you guys feel that power and progression in career can be tied to height? I used to know some people that thought for sure that because they were shorter, that they didn't get certain opportunities.
Napoleon.
Yeah.
This proves it. Mm-hmm. He was the emperor.
Also, Michael J. Fox, you know?
Is he short?
Tom Cruise.
Oh, shit.
I feel like a lot of actors are a lot shorter than they look like. They film them at different angles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. anyway, after he passed away, this Italian guy took over, Giuseppe Fascioli, and he was in a wheelchair, you know? So it's like there's a lot of attention paid that both of these men were not like your typical... stand-up guys.
Very inclusive. This story holds the test of time. It really is acceptable in current day.
And he had an attendant that would push him around everywhere because it's before like the cool wheelchairs, you know. And so they
can you elaborate on cool wheelchairs?
The ones where you get to press the button or blow into like a straw and the it Hawking moves for ones? You. Yeah.
Those are cool.
Not the ones that you have to, you know, operate yourself.
Those are cool.
They're cool
but then
too,
you get all
like,
jacked up.
Your arms
when
you're are
operating.
All jacked and you look awesome.
That's true.
You look like bass.
You guys are right.
Fucking ripped.
So in Massachusetts, he had this like miniature town built. And he made this mini town and it would have these like lightning bolts like reconstructed in it. And there was a church in it. And whenever he would recreate the lightning, it would strike the steeple of the church. And people were all pissed because it's like, they're like, oh, this is sacrilegious that you're doing this. But it's like, nah, dude, that's just like where the lightning hits it. Like, we don't plan this. That's just what it does. It's the highest point. Like, what
like, do they
about?
Actually have church services in there?
No, it's a miniature church. And the dwarf died before this other guy took over.
Oh, miniature. Sorry.
Yeah, but they kept improving the strength of this like lightning rod and like this recreation of lightning that they would make. And they had Helen Keller actually come to one of their demonstrations and they would have it at a world fair. And she was very impressed by it as well.
Wow. Did anyone?
She was impressed by what she saw.
Can you elaborate?
Did anyone let the lightning strike their dick?
They should have brought that guy.
That guy would have been.
He would have loved that.
He would have loved it.
He would have put that thing up next to the church, like on that little thing.
He would have climbed right up by the top.
Put his pecker right on the fucking.
Sounds like a missed opportunity.
Right.
But the people that did take advantage of it were insurance companies. And they were like, yo, we've been getting a lot of claims from these farmers saying that lightning has struck their livestock and their livestock's dying. We've been having to give out a lot of payouts. Can you look into this for us? So they would put cows and sheep in between these things and explode them and then study what it looked like. And wound up saving the insurance company like a bunch of money in payouts. It turns out that like the best proof you can have that something, one of your livestock animals were struck by lightning is a giant scorched hole around where they lay dead. Just so you guys know, that's the best evidence you can provide.
I wonder almost with this cast of characters if it's not more like, oh, the circus has come to town rather than the science experiment, you know, in some respects.
Yeah. But it's General Electric. You know, this is big money.
GE.
Next up, we have the fifth. I saved the best for last.
But you have some others to sprinkle, just some things.
I have a ton of things I could talk
about. Yeah, you need to sprinkle some in at the end.
I mean, yeah. Okay. So, number five is Lucy the chimp. So there's a scientist couple that agreed to raise a chimp from birth to see how human-like this chimpanzee could become. So Maurice, nicknamed Maury, and Jane Timmerlin lived in Oklahoma, and they worked under this professor from the University of Oklahoma named Bill Lemon. And he had bought this farm. All this shit reminds me of Tiger King, by the way. He had bought this farm and turned it into like a primate research facility. And so basically they took a baby chimp that had been suckling on the breast, like newborn chimp of its mother. They gave the mom like a drink of Coca-Cola, but they put sedatives in it. So she just passed out and then they stole the chimp baby from her.
That's fucked up.
And so that's how Lucy's life started.
But she can't consent, John, so that's okay, right? Take her fucking baby.
That's not what I said. If anything, the lack of consent means you have to be more compassionate with them.
I was being facetious. So.
So she grew up observing, like, with their parents, her new parents, human parents, observing her behavior and treating her kind of like she was their own child. And I wanted to ask you guys if you know anyone that treats their pets as if they're children.
Yeah, lots of people.
Yeah.
A lot of people. I don't know anyone personally.
My sister-in-law.
Like, what do they do that makes it different than other people with pets? Like, the clothes? Is that what it is?
Yeah, my mom dresses up her dog.
Yeah.
And then she, like, puts her in timeout and shit. All that stuff. Then the dog listens.
Are you ever jealous of the dog? How she treats the dog?
No.
Okay.
I feel bad.
Yeah, my mom's really pretty wild with her Yorkshire Terrier. Like, the dog is so spoiled and, like, you know, everything you could imagine. Like, the dumbest shirts and stuff, too.
Oh, she dresses them up?
Oh, yeah. Sweaters. Everything.
She put some of those pictures up on the site.
Yo, I can get some up there. Send us an email. Request the pictures of these animals dressed up.
I want to see it.
We'll make it happen. So things have been going fairly well overall with this new, you know, unconventional family. Maury noticed that Lucy kept eating rotten apples outside that had fallen. And he figured out the reason that she was doing it was because it was getting her drunk because it was, like, fermented. Nice. So he was like, well, fuck, I don't want her eating these rotten apples. I'll just teach her how to make drinks. And so this monkey actually became an alcoholic, and Maury said that he really enjoyed getting drunk with her because she was such like a pleasant drunk. She would just like make silly faces in the mirror at herself and dance around, and she could make her own drinks, and I guess she poured heavy. So her favorite drinks were gin and tonic and whiskey sours. So
I think that like that would be terrifying too, though, because like it only takes one bad night, you know. Like, Okay, she's been great all these years.
Angry,
maybe
drunk.
She had a bad day, and then she's ripping your testicles off. You know,
would you drink with a monkey?
I feel like that's animal abuse.
If the monkey chooses to drink,
I mean, I would drink with it. If the monkey consents.
If he consents.
Well, honestly.
And he makes his own drink, who am I to refuse him making me one too? You know, I'm not an animal. Come on. I show respect.
But there's not, to me, there's nothing cuter than a monkey smoking a cigarette.
Oh, God.
You know? You ever seen that? A monkey smoking a cigarette?
Yeah.
I've seen that.
Have you seen it in real life, though?
No.
I've never seen
that's
it.
That's one thing I aspire to
yeah.
see
yeah.
before I die.
What the
before
fuck?
You expire.
Just go to Asia.
That's your bucket list item?
It's kind of tough
it's
right
kinda
now.
It's kind of cool.
So she drank every day, and apparently chimps start to reach sexual maturity when they're around 3 years old. So this scientist, Maury...
What pedophile wrote this?
Who sounds a bit like he crossed some lines to me. He took a lot of notes about this whole sexual maturity and what it meant for him and his chimpanzee daughter. So Lucy has never been exposed. Granted, like when she was first ripped from her mother's teat, since then she had never been exposed to like anything but humans. So she directed all of her attentions when she was in heat towards human males. And everyone except for Maury. And because I guess chimps don't really do like the incest thing, and she recognized him as her father. And it sounds like he was a little bit jealous of this fact, like a little bit disappointed maybe. So
that's fair.
Because other dudes that would come into the house, like she would jump on them and she would kiss them on the mouth and start like gyrating on top of them. So he started.
What a whore.
He started buying her Playgirl magazines and she got obsessed with them. I'm serious. And
that's real.
She would look at them. Yes. She would look at them all the time and she was like especially fascinated with like, you know, the penis and stuff. And she would like.
Who is it?
She would like crouch over the magazines and like, you know, thrust. Yeah, so.
This family fucked that gorilla up.
So, Maury kind of sounded like he was trying to like entice this behavior to be directed towards him a little bit. And he noted that Lucy liked to put his dick in her mouth whenever she saw it, in whatever state it was in. And
what?
Wait, go back.
Rewind that.
Yo. You said that very nonchalant.
But then he said none of this was in
rewind
a sexual
part,
way.
Though. Rewind that part. Though.
You want me to read that whole thing again?
No, okay. just the part about the dick.
Yeah, he said that his chimpanzee daughter liked to put, whenever his dick was showing, she tried to put her mouth on
My
it.
My first question is, has his dick show? Why?
Yeah, walking around. What kind? Are they nudists?
Is he living the ape lifestyle too?
They did a bunch of weird shit that I didn't even include in here because it was too fucking weird to me. So it's like, I guess monkeys masturbate a lot.
You better fucking say all
I
that
will.
Shit.
I'm going to say it right now. I didn't write it down because I was like, I don't even want to say this out loud, but I will. I guess monkeys masturbate a lot. And so she would do it because she's a fucking animal. Like, and then he would be like, oh, well, she's just doing this unabashedly. Like, I'll masturbate in front of her and see what she does. Then he got his wife to masturbate in front of her, too. And she was like, whatever, no big deal. But then if they both did it together at the same time or if they were fucking, she would get real pissed because she didn't want to see
jealous.
That.
She's jealous.
So they'd fuck around Lucy?
Yeah. Lucy Goosey.
And Lucy would be pissed because she's not getting any.
But, right. But this guy sounds nuts. Fucked up to me.
This is fucking nuts.
This is completely normal scientific behavior.
For science.
How is this good for science again?
This is what I'm saying. Anyway, like, I don't think we're the only people that feel that way immediately. And he tried to say it wasn't sexual, that she's putting her mouth on it. Okay.
Okay.
But then he's like, she didn't when I... This is how he wrote it, like, in my words. But she did it when I was peeing. She did it when I was changing clothes. She did it whenever I had an erection. And I'm like, excuse me? What? He wrote a whole book about his experience.
What's the name of this book, dude? What the fuck?
Yeah, we need to plug this.
I should go grab the other book so I can tell you the name of the book. But if you look up, it's Lucy. It's called Lucy colon something. But the guy's name is Maurice Tamerlin, T-E-M-E-R-L-I-N. And it's probably published like 1975-ish.
Oh my
so
God.
So the future was looking a little bit tumultuous for Lucy and for the marriage between these people who had adopted her. So also Jane was having an affair with Professor Lemon, who was the one who bought this whole like chimpanzee farm in the first place and ran the department. So
wait, who's Jane?
Jane is the wife.
Oh, okay.
The monkey mom. Mm-hmm.
Lucy, not Lucky.
I think it's spelled correct. Lucky, and these children's books just came out.
I'm like, wait.
That'd be really messed up if they made this into a children's
book. Oh, is this it?
Yeah, it's called Growing Up Human. It's that book. Yep.
More, okay.
That's the one. We should see if you can find a picture of him just so we know what this pair of looks like.
Isn't that him on the front right there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
He looks like Tarzan.
A little bit.
Well... We'll get the plug on the website with Lucy the Monkey so you guys can, whoever wants to read this shit. This
is crazy. He goes into a lot of detail.
Is this his girl? That's Jane, right?
No, that's not. Something. Oh, Janice. That's someone else. So Lucy was pretty smart, too. In addition to being a great bartender, she knew 100 words in sign language. She would actually, like, lie in sign language to people. They'd be like, who shit on the floor? And she would blame everyone else when it was very clearly her shit. This looks like monkey shit.
I'm not saying that it was you, but it looks like monkey shit.
I mean, if you look at the cover of this book, they're really fucking connecting on it.
This is weird, bro.
In an intimate way. So, I mean, he's not pulling any punches
off. He even pulls out on the very top. You can see how it's written. It says, from infancy through sexual maturity. And he's like, then I was done with her. That's all he wanted.
Look how he's gazing into the fucking monkey's eye, bro. He's just fucked up.
That's really fucking disturbing. I did not look at that before.
Growing Up Human.
I'm going to see if I can get a copy of
it. Also, that purple carpet behind it.
Yeah, they got it for fucking... Oh, no, it's pretty expensive, though. The hardcover is almost $900.
Oh, my what? God.
But you want it hard if you're going to go with this one.
No, that's just a specific version of it.
Oh, my God.
The hardcover. Seems like
that's what I meant.
Bestiality Bible or some shit.
So they were finding the monkey shit on the floor, though, and there was blame game?
The monkey lied. And so that's the first documented monkey lie was that.
That's crazy.
But so anyways, they were... Maury got fired. Surprise. So they didn't really know what to do with her. And they were like, all right, should we like put her in a zoo? What should we do with her? And like nothing really seemed right. And because it's like trying to figure out what to do with a kid, like after a divorce sort of thing. And they had to agree on it. And so what ended up happening is she got sent to a preserve in Africa where their goal was like have her in this preserve for a little bit. And then like kind of transition her so she can go back out into the wild and learn to be like a chimpanzee, even though she was raised by humans and didn't know anything aside from that. And one of their research assistants, because they did have people coming into their house all the time, was this lady, her last name was Carter. And she was so like, she loved the monkeys so much and she wanted them to like do well. So she went there with Lucy and stayed there. And then other people kind of saw that she was a softy, started pinning other orphan chimpanzees onto her. So she has like 10 chimpanzees that she's responsible for at this place. And she's sleeping there. She's been there 18 months in Africa. She's from Oklahoma, you know. She's like, I got to go back home. So she takes them all to this place called Baboon Island, which is completely uninhabited by humans. But they have like spitting cobras and other like and hippos and other like evil, creepy animal kind of shit. And so she goes there, she builds herself a cage, and she lets all these chimpanzees loose. And the first night they're on top of her cage, she wakes up to like shit falling down into her cage because these monkeys don't know how to sleep in the trees because they've all been living with humans for so long and they don't know how to act.
You're shitting on her.
So she just wakes up and she's like, fuck, I gotta teach these monkeys how to survive and then I can leave them like in a good conscience.
Or at least put a blanket over the cage.
You make it sound so easy.
Fucking, she's kind of asking for it, you know? Like...
Yeah, so that's where Lucy ended up. I'm not going to finish the story because it's real sad. So
you have to finish it.
Hey,
It's so sad, though.
Yeah, but you can't leave the fucking crowd. Think about the listeners. They want to be depressed.
We covered sad stuff before.
Okay, I'll tell the end. This poor abused monkey had this one person who cared about her enough to, like, teach her how to try to, like, become who she really was deep down, which was a chimpanzee and not a human child. And the lady had to, like, chew on leaves to teach her how to chew on leaves because she just wanted human food. She'd had a taste of that good life, you know? And she would try to communicate, and she'd be like, "I'm hurt." She'd be like, "Lucy hurt," and do her sign language to her, "Let me in the cage with you." She'd say stuff like that. And this lady knows exactly what she's saying, but then she's like, "Fuck, I'm never going to be able to leave because she keeps saying this, and I'm giving her special treatment. She's not going to ever become a chimpanzee because she can communicate with me this way." So finally, she's like, "I'm just going to not answer her back anymore in sign language and break all communication, because that's the only way that she'll ever be reintroduced into, like, her own, you know, like, what she should have been living as originally." So she stops doing that. She leaves, finally, because Lucy finally just, like, gives up at trying to speak to her and communicate with her, and just tries to do what she's saying. She starts eating the bugs. She starts eating the leaves and stuff, and she just goes out there. And so the lady leaves, but then she feels like she wants to go check on them. So she comes back 6 months later. Lucy runs up to her. It's all good. She leaves again. She comes back another 6 months later, and all the other chimpanzees are accounted for except for Lucy, and there's just a chimpanzee skull out there. So she thinks that what happened, they just have to guess because they don't know. She thinks what happened is, because Lucy was so familiar with humans, a group of poachers had arrived, and she must have come out to, like, greet them, and they killed her. So that's her guess as to what happened to Lucy. Poor Lucy. Those are my experiments, guys.
I love Lucy.
Lucy's
That was,
you think she was awesome. Making coconut rum?
That was crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
You gotta open that back up and tell us the tidbits.
I didn't write the tidbits down, but I can tell you some of the other. There's so many, like, crazy things in this book.
We need some tidbits of. I don't know, not to cut you guys off on the Lucy stuff, but I just thought it was so awesome, you know. But the tidbits sound like, I know you got some good stuff.
Some other things that really stuck out to me when I was reading the book was people trying to understand, like, the human digestive tract would put things, like, swallow them and then check how they came out. So it's like one guy had, like, these little linen sacks that he would put food inside and swallow them and then look at his shit later and be like, is this digested or not? And so he kept adding more layers to the outside of the sack. It's like, if I have a thicker sack, will, like, the stomach acid still digest it, sort of thing? And then he's like, if I eat it again, will it digest the second time? No. So that's why when you said human centipede, I kept thinking about this. Yeah. I'm like, this guy shit out this thing, found it wasn't fully digested, and he was like, let me try again, and then ate it again.
This sounds like a guy who's been to prison. You know, and, like, I mean, this is the ultimate smuggle. Really. John, remember when we looked at when we were working at Borders back in the day, the Vice Guide and and they had a segment on the all corn shit.
Yeah, yeah. How many days of eating corn straight until your shit turns just to corn?
It's pretty fascinating, right?
Yeah, it was like
what's the answer?
It was like 80 hours or something.
Yeah, and then they had a picture of it in the book.
It wasn't long.
It's just a cob of corn?
Just kernels, like cluster of kernels and juices.
Because it doesn't digest.
You didn't eat anything except corn, yeah.
That's disgusting. Because, you know, when you eat stuff with corn, then the corn kernels will be on your turd. But so he said, wait a minute, let me just eat corn and let's see what happens.
So it was a clean
science.
Scientific.
It is science, yeah.
So glad to dispel that one for you. Mm-hmm. What else did you have?
There was a bunch of fucked up stuff with, like, animals. Like, that's the other thing about experiments that are weird. It's like, there's a lot of things that we want to know, but we can't without fucking with people. Like, for a lot of experiments, they would hypnotize people to get them to participate, or wouldn't tell people that they were participating in them. There was one where they were kind of, like, studying, like, crowd reactions and they had a bunch of people in a room that knew they were there for an experiment, and they kept having smoke come inside, but only one person was the person being observed, and everyone else was like lab techs or like assistants. So they were told not to react to the smoke coming in. So basically, like, someone's in a room. Like, if we're all in a room and only Brian didn't know about this, like, inside thing that we had going on, and all of a sudden all this smoke starts coming in here, and we're just acting like, oh, yeah, whatever, no big deal. This happens all the time. Like, it's just getting hotter and there's smoke coming in here, whatever. Okay. And you're like, should we, like, report this anywhere? Should we open the door? Should we leave? You know, like, they would do experiments like that, and people just would go with the flow and react to whatever. So that's another one.
That's kind of cool. Like, that kind of reminds me of the term gaslighting, right? Like, you guys familiar with that? It's from an old movie or something, like, where the husband's trying to convince his wife that she's mad, and he keeps turning down the gas lamp, and so it looks dimmer, and the wife's like, "What? The gas lamp looks dimmer. Is that the case?" And he's like, "No, what are you talking about?" You know what I mean? Like, trying to make her think she's crazy. So he's doing, like, all these little things. That kind of reminds me of that. Mm. But
they also really wanted to find out if female monkeys could have orgasms. And so they kind of, like, this was, like, a feminist-driven experiment, because originally it was all men, and they didn't have it on, like, their questionnaire. And so someone was like, all right, you're, like, studying, like, monkeys fucking, and you're finding out if the man has an orgasm, but you're not talking about the woman. And they're like, what do you mean? Women can orgasm? What? And then, so they studied that more. And they had this woman who was like trying to further science, like women in science. And she would kind of like take this dildo thing and masturbate female monkeys until, and had stuff to attach their brain to try to figure out if they were actually having orgasms or not. That was another thing I learned.
Were they? Is there something new every day?
Yes.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
Shit.
Well, that's pretty crazy.
There's some tidbits for you. Is that? No.
That was a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot to handle reading this book.
Could you give us one more to end on? Okay. Just one more.
Okay, let me think.
All right. Wait. What about the one with the guy that they would put all different animals in a cage?
All with the animal sex shit. No, it was monkeys. It was monkeys. It was more monkey sex experiments. There was a lot about this in this book, by the way.
Just a monkey sex episode?
Apparently.
This last half hour has really evolved.
Like, people do this for science to learn about us, because there's no way to study, like, human sex without it being even weirder. And that's, like, the closest shit that they have to look at. But what they did was they took a chimpanzee, and his name was Jocko, and apparently he was, like, a particularly... So he was... First, let me tell you. This shit's so fucked up. He was part of this family, like, McCormick Spices, I guess. It's, like, a big spice family or something. Yep. And they had this one guy that was kind of like a black sheep in the family that needed special attention, so they brought a scientist out to watch him, and they're like, okay, he keeps, like, fucking masturbating in front of everybody. And that was like his thing, and that's what he would do. And they're like, can you just come over, check out Stanley, see what's wrong with him? Yeah. And he's like, yeah, of course I can come, but like, I to understand his behavior, it's very similar to primates, and I need to have my primates with me. So this scientist comes out, lives with this rich fucking family in I think it was Montecito, California, and which is super fancy and really nice by the like water and everything. So this guy brings all these monkeys out there. One of his monkeys is Jocko. He puts Jocko in a cage, and he starts giving Jocko different animals, and like a snake and a skunk and like all these different, a kitten and a puppy. And he's like, what will Jocko fuck? And Jocko tried to fuck everything. And so for a while, they're like, oh, yeah, this guy is keeping Stanley busy, and he's not jacking off in front of everyone. This fucking wealthy man who was married and, like, was supposed to, like, take on this fucking spice fortune. And then finally Stanley started jacking off in public again, and they were like, oh, you got to leave, and you got to take your monkeys with you, including Jocko. That's
wait a minute. So let me get this straight. So he's going to inherit a spice empire, but this is troubled because he can't. He beats off in front of people in public randomly.
Yeah.
A man, right?
He's a man.
And then
Stanley.
This doctor brings these monkeys, and when the monkey starts fucking all these different animals, this is entertaining him during that time.
So he's able to... It didn't say that, but I presume that because he was there for a while, and that's the kind of shit he was studying to try to fix Stanley.
And he was able to keep his dick in his pants for a bit, but then it all just unraveled. But at this time, you said he got to take his monkeys, so, like, what, this man kept these animals? He was like, oh, I'm going to keep them?
It really doesn't give you, like, that's another thing that's sad about this is, like, what happens to the monkeys. Because, like, a lot of them, like, that's why I think about Tiger King all the time, too, you know? A lot of these monkeys that are experimented on, you don't really know what happens to. But I think he kept Jocko with him. I don't know if he's fucking the monkey. Jocko. I don't know what drives someone to study sexual behavior in chimpanzees, you know?
So Jocko just fucks everything, though. Huh? That's pretty wild.
Jocko.
Did this guy inherited the place eventually?
No, because he started jacking off in front of people again.
Imagine a business meeting.
That's how he signs his name.
Our stats are plummeting.
Let me get him back.
Not
up.
All of them.
Holy shit. This is a sick world we live in. I think nothing, this episode does nothing but prove sick that.
And dirty.
I don't think my mom listens anymore, so it's fine.
Good for her. Now, I guess that's it then, right?
That's it. Yeah.
You don't want to share anything else?
No, there was just a lot of very disturbing stuff in there, but a lot of really cool stuff too. I really like experiments.
Maybe plug the book though. What's the book?
Alex Bowes, Electrified Sheep.
We'll put the book on the website in case anyone's interested. Along with this Lucy one with the man molesting the monkey on the cover. you can get a paperback classic for $74.84 of this very vintage-looking edition. Looks like it's got a 4-star rating, 11 ratings. Yeah, the hardcover is nearly $900. So if you want it hard, you're going to get fucked.
There were some excerpts from his book in there, and they're very detailed.
Oh, wow. Sounds like a good one, guys. So to wrap up, we'll thank Daddy Bass and John the Skeptic. They'll be joining us to wrap up the trilogy first episode next week when we dive into the evil entry presented by none other than Jay Pizzle. Can you give us just a little taste, just a suckle on the teat of the goat, so to speak?
Yeah, this next one's going to be a good one. It's going to be taking place in 16th century Germany, and one of the most prolific killer of that time. He's almost like a myth.
Yeah, this is almost like supernatural. It's like a real serial killer from an old time, but it's almost supernatural.
This
supernatural.
I don't want to reveal too much, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is some supernatural shit involved, and some brutal shit too.
So this is like, this plays to the true crime fan or the tinfoil hat, you know, whichever hat you wear.
Yeah.
You're gonna get a little something next week.
Oh, you'll be baptized next week.
With evil.
They're extra-dimensional beings that they are not what they claim to be.
Your life with dignity. Don't lay down with tears and agony. Living, you're looking at death. It only looks like living is much, much more difficult.
You know, most of them don't assume you're actually going to kill them. Most of them assume it's a rape or something like that.
It was like anybody was fair game.
It did not matter. Blood is blood. It didn't matter if man, woman, child.
At first, they thought it was a pack of savage dogs. But when they looked closer, they knew it was humans.
We left the curse. Say it! We left the curse.
We did the gate.
A fire and death.
We did it again.
Oh, this is not nice. Judgment!
No!
Say it!
Ah, we left the curse!
On her?
On her!
Future generations.